This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome back. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, we said she used to get a regular allowance and she would often just give away most of her allowance. Umar actually gave the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the choice of having either a piece of land once or a monthly allowance. And Aisha and Hafsa, they chose the allowance because, you know, I believe it's because they felt like it was something that would come regularly that they could then give in charity regularly. When Umar was on his deathbed, he called his son Abdullah, and he said, go to the mother of the believers, Aisha, and say, Umar bin al-Khattab sends his greetings to you and request her to allow me to be buried with my companions, with Rasulullah and Abu Bakr. Because obviously they were buried in Aisha's house, so he wanted to seek her permission. So Ibn Umar, he conveyed this message to Aisha radiallahu anha, and she said, I had the desire of having this place for myself. So she wanted to be buried there herself when she'd passed away. But she said, today I prefer Umar over myself and allow him to be buried there. When Abdullah bin Umar returned to Umar, he told him, and Umar said, Abdullah said to him, she has allowed you to be buried there. Umar then said, nothing was more important to me than to be buried in that sacred place. So when I expire, carry me there and pay my greetings to her, Aisha, and say, Umar bin al-Khattab asked permission. And if she gives permission, then bury me there. And if she does not, then take me to the graveyard of the Muslims. You can see here that Umar knew that maybe Aisha radiallahu anha was saying yes because, you know, she felt obliged to do so. And so he would give her another chance after he had passed away to reconsider. After the death of Umar, Aisha moved to a place nearby due to the lack of space in her home. Now there were three graves in her home. Some people say that initially a curtain was drawn in her home once Umar was buried there, because perhaps she, you know, she had this real respect for Umar, and because he was not her mahram, she felt it was more appropriate for there to be a curtain between the part of the house where she lived and the graves. But eventually she moved out of that space, and so that space became, even though it was still known as the house of Aisha, it was really the housing place of the three graves of the greatest men who had walked on this earth. Now, during the reign of Uthman, when Uthman bin Affan, radiallahu anhu, became caliph, you know, he had a peaceful caliphate initially, but eventually trouble started to brew. And over a long period of time, it culminated in a rebellion, or a huge gang of people, troublemakers, surrounding Medina, entering Medina. And eventually there was a mob that entered Medina and besieged the house of Uthman. Uthman radiallahu anhu, of course, was elderly by this time. And it was a very difficult and very sad situation. And many of the Sahaba did not know what to do and how best to handle it. Uthman radiallahu anhu himself did not try to quash the rebellion because he did not want bloodshed. He did not want Muslims to, you know, raise their swords against fellow Muslims. So he was always trying to appease these people. But they besieged his house and they prevented essential supplies from reaching Uthman radiallahu anhu. Aisha radiallahu anha, during this time when Uthman's house was being besieged, was in Mecca because she had just completed the Hajj. And because there was trouble brewing in Medina, people had advised her to stay in Mecca, because for the Muslims, the safety of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen was of paramount importance. You know, they saw themselves as the protectors of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mothers of the believers. So she stayed there in Mecca. And in fact, before leaving for Hajj that year, she had met her brother, Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. And after the death of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, her father, Abu Bakr's wife, Asma bint Umais, had gotten married to Ali bin Abi Talib. So she was a widow. Remember, she was originally the widow of Ja'far bin Abi Talib, and Abu Bakr had married her. And now she was a widow from Abu Bakr, and then Ali married her. And she had had a son with Abu Bakr, who was Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. And this Muhammad, he was brought up in the house of Ali bin Abi Talib. So he considered Ali to be like his father. Before leaving for Hajj, Aisha had advised Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr to accompany her to Mecca. But for some reason he didn't. And he stayed in Medina. And then the trouble started to brew, and she stayed in Mecca. Eventually, this mob that was surrounding Uthman radiallahu anhu's house entered his house. And unfortunately, Aisha radiallahu anha's brother, Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, was with them. But it is said that when Uthman saw him, he said to him, "Oh Muhammad, what would your father say if he saw you here like this?" And Muhammad bin Abi Bakr became so embarrassed, he left. And so he didn't continue, you know, the aggression with the rest of the mob. Sadly, Uthman radiallahu anhu's house was stormed. He was attacked viciously and assassinated. His wife was also brutally injured. You can imagine that the shock of Uthman's killing reverberated throughout the Arabian Peninsula. There was Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan and the Banu Umayyah in Sham to the west. You know, they were very angry because he was their kinsman. Uthman was from Banu Umayyah. And Ali bin Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, of course, who loved Uthman, he was now the caliph. And people began to give him the Pledge of Allegiance. And he was waiting to find the right time to bring the killers of Uthman to justice. Unfortunately, it seems that many of the members of the mob that were responsible for killing Uthman radiallahu anhu, they either fled to Basra or they hid in the ranks of the army of Ali bin Abi Talib. This upset many of the Sahaba. Now, Ali radiallahu anhu, he was asking everybody for more time to set certain urgent affairs straight before pursuing the killers of Uthman. He was a new head of state. You know, there were many things that needed to be sorted out before he could address this problem. But others amongst the Sahaba dreaded that the more time that passed, the more likely it was that the killers would get away with it. Aisha radiallahu anha was very upset with the killing of Uthman. Uthman radiallahu anhu was not just the caliph, he was also family. He was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's son-in-law. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the Muslims, had known him as Dhun-Nurayn, the owner or the person with the two lights, because he had been married to Ruqayya, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when she died, to Kulthum, the other daughter of the Prophet. So the Sahaba were shocked and upset at the killing of such a great man, especially at the hands of fellow Muslims. So some of the Sahaba, they really wanted to make a stand and to bring the killers of Uthman to justice. They wanted to organize a march, gather an army and march to the area where they believed the killers of Uthman had come from and were hiding in. And that was Basra. The great Sahabi, Talha bin Ubaidillah, he was married to Aisha radiallahu anha's youngest sister, Kulthum. Remember Kulthum? She was the child who was born after the death of Abu Bakr to his wife, Habiba bint Kharija. And Aisha radiallahu anha was very protective over that sister of hers, as Abu Bakr had advised her to be. So she was married to Talha bin Ubaidillah. So Talha came to speak to Aisha radiallahu anha in Mecca. And also the great Sahabi, Az-Zubair bin Al-Awwam, who had also been married to Aisha's sister Asma, he was the father of her nephew Abdullah, Abdullah bin Az-Zubair, from whom she took her kunya, Abdullah. Both of these great companions who were promised paradise, they came to Mecca and convinced Aisha radiallahu anha to accompany their march to Basra. They saw Aisha radiallahu anha as an important symbolic figure, as wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they felt that if she accompanied them, and of course she would be on her camel in her hawdaj, right, which was, as we said, like a tent that was on top of the camel. But it made her camel very, very prominent. And the way her hawdaj was decorated, or the way it appeared, every Muslim would recognize and know that this is the hawdaj of Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen. So they felt that her accompanying them would mean that the Muslims' hearts would be stirred and they would support their cause. Inshallah, in the next episode, we're going to continue the story of what happened when Talha and Zubair came to ask our mother Aisha to accompany them to Basra. And we're going to talk about the so-called incident of the camel. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.